So thank you to Bert for giving the context of what the WHO growth charts are and the history of where they came from. Now we're in Washington, D.C., and we need to figure out, well, what does this mean for the United States? Just by way of kind of synthesizing that long, complicated background that Bert said, here in the United States, we released the growth charts that became an international reference back in 1977. And as Bert pointed out, there was a clear recognition that there were many flaws in those initial charts. Really, two processes grew out of those charts. One here in the United States with the CDC working on the development of a new growth reference that was released in the year 2000 that covered children from age from birth all the way up until they became 20 years of age. Simultaneous to that process, WHO was also working on their process of developing new WHO standards for the growth of children up to age 5. And so now, in 2007, we're faced with both of these charts at our disposal. We have to make some choices. So last year, CDC said we needed to bring together a panel of experts who could help us with this decision of what should we be recommending in the United States and how should we implement that. So we put together an expert panel in the end of June of 2006. It was co-sponsored by CDC, NIH, and AAP. We felt it was very important that whatever recommendations came out, that these be joint recommendations of all of these organizations, so that we don't have one organization recommending one thing and some other organization contradicting that in some way. At that meeting, a number of issues were considered about the WHO standards and how they compare to the CDC. A lot of discussion about the rationale for having a standard versus a reference. Issues on whether or not it was appropriate to use international data for examining U.S. children. What implications using these charts might have for breastfed children versus formula-fed children. A lot of discussion of the methods of creation of both sets of charts and then statistical comparisons of what they would actually mean as we put real children against those charts. And then finally, some of the practicalities of how would you work with these two charts, given that they cover different age ranges. So I'm going to structure my talk kind of talking about these different issues, and then we'll end with some next steps. First of all, with regard to the rationale for a standard versus a reference, I think this has been one of the most difficult sticking issues for many people in making a decision. Is it appropriate for clinicians to have a standard? And there was clearly a strong point of view expressed at that meeting that because clinicians are making decisions about the health of the child, not just comparison issues, how does this child compare to others, but they're making value judgments about how is this child's growth reflective of this child's health, that it is appropriate that they be compared against a healthy population. There are a number of studies that have shown that clinicians actually do understand this. While many times they are left with only having a reference to compare various health parameters against, they do understand the concept of a standard and why it is important. But people were also concerned about communication back to parents, that what does it mean that your child is at the 15th percentile compared to this special group of children that were created? Can you communicate that to them of what this standard actually means? What does that 15th percentile actually reflect? There were also concerns raised about the appropriateness of using an international reference for the United States, particularly when you think about the countries that are there, coming from India and Ghana and Brazil, a sense that, well, why would we be comparing our children in the United States, a well-to-do developed country, against infants from situations that are much poorer than ours? But Bert already described for you how the populations selected from those countries were not reflective of the poor populations that might be having nutritional problems in those countries. And so when we actually do the data comparison across countries, as Bert showed, you actually don't see that there are any differences. And so this really quieted concerns about, well, why should we be using data from other countries? It really was shown at the meeting that this really is not a major issue. It was also discussed that even in the United States, it's hard for us to describe what a U.S. population even is. What is our ethnic background? We are such a mix, and that mixture is changing all the time. And so to say, based on a comparison of the United States at one point in time, is a difficult comparison to understand as well. But again, the issue of communication to parents came up. How do you communicate that I'm comparing your child to children from India and Ghana was a concern that people had. concerns about the implications for breastfed as well as formula-fed children. Primarily the concern being that this reference, the WHO standard, was created on breastfed children. And is it appropriate that we would hold formula-fed children to that standard? Is it in fact better for their growth and therefore their health to grow in that way? And we really don't have any data to say what appropriate growth for formula-fed children ought to be. Would they in fact be healthier if they grew like the breastfed standard? But the counter to that was many others arguing just the other side. Is it appropriate for us to be comparing breastfed children against a formula feeding standard? That essentially that's what we have in the United States. About two-thirds of the children in the United States standard in the CDC 2000 reference were not breastfed beyond about 3 months. So it's a predominantly formula-fed population that is in our reference right now. AAP has stated that the breastfed child is the norm, and we set our dietary reference intakes on the basis of the intakes of breastfed children. So there are precedents for saying that we would hold breastfeeding as the standard against which formula-fed children ought to be compared. There was a lot of discussion about, well, could you use the WHO standard for breastfed children and the CDC standard for formula-fed children? And I think that had some resonance for people if you could define a breastfed child and a formula-fed child. But in fact, when you look at the data, there is an incredible amount of mixture, starting from birth, but also over time. And so do you switch the child from a breastfeeding standard to a formula standard at some point? What does that mean? Practically, that just makes no sense. There's a lot of discussion about methods of how the curves themselves were created. Bert has already gone over what the methodology was for the WHO charts. I just want to give a brief reminder of the methodology for the CDC 2000 growth reference. It was created to be a descriptive reference of the way children in the United States grow, essentially in the 1970s and 1980s. It was not designed to be up to date of the growth that we have right now. As we all know, there is an obesity epidemic in this country, and we did not want to be holding up the current growth of children as what we would want to be comparing against. And so that reference essentially picks a point in time, essentially the 70s and 80s in the United States, as what we were trying to model. It was based on nationally representative data. We used the NHANES data and the Health Examination Survey data that represents a cross-section of the United States as it was reflective at that time. The only exclusion to that was to take out the very low birth weight infants in the infant curves, so that we were not including children below 1,500 grams in the creation of those curves, because we know that their growth looks very different from children of more normal birth weights. There were four references that were created in the CDC. Some of those go all the way up to 20, the weight for age from birth to 20. We have the separate charts for length for age and stature for age, and they overlap one another, the length for age up to age 3, and then the stature for age starting at age 2. There's a weight for length and a weight for stature that covers birth to 6 years, and then a BMI reference starting at age 2 going up through age 20. So that's the CDC reference that we're comparing against. I just want to do a kind of a side-by-side comparison. And it was important at the meeting to think differently about the methodologies in the WHO standard for birth to 2 years versus 2 to 5 years, because there were a number of differences in how those were created. First of all, the WHO had a longitudinal study. They followed children longitudinally from birth up to 2 years of age, whereas the CDC, as I said, was based on a cross-section of the United States. It was cross-sectional data. There were no feeding requirements in the CDC reference. What you do get, as I mentioned before, about 50% were ever breastfed, and about a third of them continued breastfeeding for at least 3 months. It was a predominantly formula feeding sample. The feeding requirements in the WHO were that they had to be exclusively or predominantly breastfed for at least 4 months. They had to start complementary feeding by at least 6 months of age, and they had to continue their breastfeeding for at least 12 months. So a very different look of the kind of feeding that was going on. In terms of the frequency of the data collection, in the WHO standard, there was very frequent data collection in the early months. So we had bi-weekly data collection for the first 8 weeks, then monthly up to through infancy, and then bimonthly for the second year of life. In the CDC charts, however, there essentially were no data between birth and 3 months. We used national birth certificate data to get a birth point, but then used the cross-sectional data from Ann Haynes. It starts at about 3 months. There were a few data points at about 2 months. And so you have that early pattern of growth that is essentially being modeled with mathematical equations, not based on any data that pins down the shape of the curve there. Large difference in the number of observations, about 19,000 in the WHO versus about 4,000 in the CDC. On the other hand, when we look at the methodologies for 2 to 5, the differences are not so stark between the WHO and the CDC. The WHO at that point switched over to a cross-sectional method. Because they were not able to follow the families up longitudinally, they weren't able to insist on the same feeding requirements. They insisted that they had to be breastfed for at least 3 months, but didn't have the same requirements of exclusive breastfeeding or continuation for longer durations. The WHO curves stop at age 5, whereas the CDC, as I mentioned before, continue on after age 20. There were no data exclusions in the CDC at this point for the birth to 5, or for the 2 to 5 age period, whereas in the WHO, they decided that they did not want to have a skewed distribution with a lot of children in the upper tail, and so children who were above 2 standard deviations above the mean were excluded prior to creation of the charts to bring in a more symmetrical distribution. And here, you get a few more observations in the CDC, but essentially in terms of orders of magnitude on the same par of the sample sizes there. At the meeting, we looked at statistical comparisons between the curves. I'm not going to bore you with all of the multiple slides that have been created on comparisons of different genders and ages and such, but just a few summary points here. First of all, if you talk about falling off the growth curve as you're following weight for age of the children, you would find that there would be more children who would fall off the growth curve in the first 3 months of age because the WHO charts are steeper in those first 3 months. But then from about 3 months to 18 months, the slope of growth in the WHO is much flatter, and therefore you'd be finding fewer children would fall off the growth curves in the WHO compared to the CDC. In terms of prevalence, we would find that there are a lot fewer children below the 5th percentile if you were to use the WHO charts compared to the CDC. But you'd find more infants in the WHO falling above the 95th percentile on weight for length or BMI for age, and you'd find more below on length. So we'd find more stunting and more overweight on the WHO using the same cutoff of the 95th or 5th percentile. So we did have some discussion about, well, what are the appropriate cutoffs that we ought to be using? The WHO actually recommends cutoffs at plus or minus 2 standard deviations, which corresponds to the 2.3rd percentile, the 97.7th percentile. Whereas in common use in the United States, we typically have cutoffs of the 5th and 95th percentile for screening purposes. But you might actually think that there are good reasons that you would have a different set of cutoffs for these two, because the WHO standard was intentionally measuring healthy children under optimal conditions. You might say the point at which you would be concerned about someone falling outside of those limits might be at a further cut point away from the mean in that population. And we have done statistical comparisons looking at the WHO standards using the WHO cutoffs against the CDC standards, or the CDC reference, using the more typical cutoffs that used in the United States of the 5th and 95th. And at that point, the prevalence of stunting and the prevalence of overweight actually becomes quite similar. So using the WHO charts with the WHO cutoffs, we actually would not see a major change in the prevalence of overweight or stunting. A lot of discussions about the practicalities. What does this actually, how could we put this into place in the United States? The WHO curves only extend up to age 5, and clinicians need to have charts that continue on beyond age 5. We don't stop monitoring growth at age 5, and so we need to have something that continues on beyond that. There was consideration of, well, what would we do if we used the WHO charts in the United States in toto? And in fact, it leads to the conclusion that you would have to have 3 sets of charts. Because we measure length prior to age 2, we need to have a set of charts based on length up to age 2. Then we would switch over to stature-based charts that we would use from 2 to 5. If we were to use the WHO, then we would have to switch again to the CDC charts at age 5. And so we'd have three different sets of charts to be tracking children along, and it's difficult to track their growth across the ages. On the other hand, with the if we were to use the WHO charts for only 2 years, then we would only need to have two sets of charts because the juncture at which we're switching from the WHO to the CDC could coincide with the juncture at which we're switching from length to stature. So we'd only have to have two sets of charts in use. So those are the issues that were faced. No final decisions have been made on behalf of the government yet. The AAP, about a year ago, late last year, the Committee on Nutrition voted to support the WHO growth charts for birth to 24 months of age, and the AAP board echoed that support for the WHO charts. CDC has a draft statement of what should be done, but because it is still in clearance, there is no official policy. I can't announce what the CDC policy is on this. I will let you know that CDC is working on supportive tools so that we can be in support of AAP, even if it is not the official recommendation of CDC. And those tools would include having the charts from the WHO, but put into a format that clinicians are used to working with in the United States. It has a number of lines on them. Right now, the WHO charts on the WHO website have fewer lines than we're used to working with here. Also, a lot of the ways the charts are formatted are quite different. Clinicians have asked for a formatted tool that is very similar to what they're working with right now. So we're working on that. And secondly, we're working on interactive web-based training modules so that people can understand what these differences are and how and why they might want to switch. I thank you for your time, and I think we have a few minutes for question and answer.